I'm in Albuquerque, first time with the brethren here, and we're looking forward to his Vesper service, and you'll be if you have not received one yet. And as you can tell from the cover page, his title this evening, I Am My Beloved's, and My Beloved is Mine. Brother Allen.
Thank you. Could we have the lights up? Good evening, brethren. We've had a full plate at the Lord's table this day. And now it's time to sit back and kick back and leave our minds open to the sights and the sounds that we'll be hearing this evening. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Song of Solomon, 6:3. Rightly understood, we find the Bible to be a love story of surpassing interest. No earthly love story will compare with it. We have the Father's love for our race. He gave his only begotten Son. And besides offering a redemption for all of our race through Jesus, he did more. He highly honored, exalted, and glorified our dear Redeemer as a reward for his obedience. Philippians 2:8-11. We had his love shown in the arrangement of a bride, the Lamb's wife. And how appropriate that we should consider this subject at this time. Of all the plots and peculiarities of love stories which have been conjured up by the human brain, none will compare with this story of how Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, redeeming her with his own life. And how, being rewarded with excellent glory by the Father, these who would be his companions are invited to share his cross, his suffering, his death, and to be received up into glory with him to share his love, his throne, and the Father's favor. How much is implied in this statement, my beloved is mine. Hopefully this Vesper will help us to appreciate that love and focus upon the wonderful hopes which we have before us. This promise of blessing in Christ does not just apply to the future. The glories and honors truly are not, they will be revealed in the future. But the bridegroom's care, his protection, his provision and comfort belong to his betrothed even now, while we are in this tabernacle. So that while we are passing through the valley of the shadow of death, we need fear no evil. For he is with us, and his rod and his staff comforts us. All who abide faithful to him can feel confidence in the Master's voice, saying, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. At this time, we would ask Brother Doug Famous to come up and read a poem from reprint 4784 on Promises of the Lord. Brother Doug. In every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home and abroad, on the land or sea, thy days made many, shall thy strength ever be. And through the deep waters, I call thee to go. The rivers of woe shall not be overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify thee thy deepest distress.
Very happy to have Brother Kaufman with us. As I mentioned earlier, this is his first time in Albuquerque, first time with the brethren here, and we're looking forward to his Vesper service, and you'll be if you have not received one yet, and as you can tell from the cover page, his title this evening, I Am My Beloved's, and My Beloved is mine. Brother Allen.
Quietness of spirit. Thank you. Could we have the lights up?
These lie behind the precious assurances of the dragon to those who see and realize. Unquestionable.
Good evening, brethren.
I am my beloved.
We've had a full plate at the Lord's table this day. And now it's time to sit back and kick back and leave our minds open to the sights and the sounds that we'll be hearing this evening. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Song of Solomon 6:3. Rightly understood, we find the Bible to be a love story of surpassing interest. No earthly love story will compare with it. We have the Father's love for our race. He gave His only begotten Son. And besides offering a redemption for all of our race through Jesus, He did more. He highly honored, exalted, and glorified our dear Redeemer as a reward for His obedience. Philippians 2:8-11. We have His love shown in the arrangement of a bride, the Lamb's wife. And how appropriate that we should consider this subject at this time. Of all the plots and peculiarities of love stories which have been conjured up by the human brain, none will compare with this story of how Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her, redeeming her with His own life. And how, being rewarded with excellent glory by the Father, these who would be His companions are invited to share His cross, His suffering, His death. And to be received up into glory with Him, to share His love, His throne, and the Father's favor. How much is implied in this statement, my beloved is mine. Hopefully this Vesper will help us to appreciate that love and focus upon the wonderful hopes which we have before us. This promise of blessing in Christ does not just apply to the future. The glories and honors truly are not, they will be revealed in the future. But the bridegroom's care, his protection, his provision and comfort belong to his betrothed even now, while we are in this tabernacle. So that while we are passing through the valley of the shadow of death, we need fear no evil. For He is with us, and His rod and His staff comforts us. All who abide faithful to Him can feel confidence in the Master's voice, saying, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. this time we would ask Brother Doug Famous to come up and read a poem from reprint 4784 on Promises of the Lord. Brother Doug. In every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home and abroad, on the land or sea,
the bride rejoices
as thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify thee, thy deepest distress. And through fiery trials, thy pathway shall lie. My grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flames shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume, and thy gold to refine.
Even while enjoying present fellowship. He feedeth among the lilies until the day breaks, and the shadows flee away.
What a blessing of peace,
and thus
quietness of spirit, the ability to endure hardness as a good soldier
day,
of Christ,
and
sustenance and strength in time of trial. These lie behind the precious assurances of the bridegroom to those who can see and realize
on that hill,
unquestionable,
let us
I am my beloved.
And watch with him.
Let us all sing together
never remembering
hymn number 107,
joy which faith gives here is
The Valley of Blessing.
It is not yet.
Thank you.
bride rejoices in the bridegroom's assured love. She has tasted that the Lord is gracious. What directions do her longings take? Let's examine a few scriptures from the Book of Solomon. Her eyes are toward the hills, over which she expects him to be coming like a roe. Thus she pleads with him not to tarry. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like a roe, or to a young hart on the mountain of spice. She anticipates the morning of fuller joy, even while enjoying present fellowship. He feedeth among the lilies until the day breaks, and the shadows flee away. And thus the bridegroom himself longs like herself for the day, and resolves to climb the hills, where he may not only be regaled with freshest odors, but may catch the earliest gleams of dawn. On that hill, let us meet him in faith and watch with him in hope, yet ever remembering that though this joy which faith gives here is unspeakably comforting, it is not yet the gladness of the marriage supper. It is not yet the blessedness of the bridal day. There is the joy of deliverance that we have from overwhelming danger. Such a joy was experienced by the Jews when their adversary perished and Mordecai was exalted. Such shall be the church's joy in the morning of her great deliverance. Our joy will be manifest and large. It will abide. It will satisfy. It is the joy of the morning. A long, glad day lays before us. No evening with its lengthening shadows, no night with its chills and darkness. The prospect of this morning of joy, cheers us under all of our tribulations. The thought of mourning invigorates and braces us.
There are gifts for Rebecca. From the moment
we would now ask Brother Ray and Sister Carmela Luke to come forward and read a short excerpt from reprint 303.
The Father's invitation, we have been blessed. The golden earring represents the blessed effect of the hearing of the call. Golden bracelets represent the blessed effect of the divine call upon our doing thereafter. Even greater blessings.
We can set our faces to the storm, for behind it lies the calm. We can bear the parting, for the meeting is not distant. We can afford to weep, for the tears shall soon be wiped away.
Divine blessings.
We can look quietly into the grave of buried love and cherished hope. The resurrection shines behind it. Things may be against us here, my dear, but they are for us hereafter. The here is but an hour, the hereafter is a whole eternity.
Let us sing together hymn number 32, The Prospect.
I am unmoved. Thy Spirit, Lord, has filled my life with sweet
thoughts.
Oh,
2 Corinthians 11:2 reads, I have espoused you as a chaste virgin unto one husband, even Christ. This beautiful figure of the church's relationship to Christ is made very prominent in the scriptures. Isaac and his wife Rebekah, furnishing a striking type of Christ in the church as bridegroom and bride. The teaching of this beautiful symbol shows his great love, his tender care for us as his church. There are gifts for Rebekah from the moment she entered the good tidings. There is significance for us in this, that from the moment we first gave ear to the Father's invitation, we have been blessed. The golden earrings represent the blessed effect of the hearing of the call. Golden bracelets represent the blessed effect of the divine call upon our doings thereafter. Even greater blessings followed when Rebekah was espoused, whom having not seen, she loved. The servant presented her with vessels of silver, symbolizing truth, and with further jewels or ornaments of gold, divine blessings and graces, and with new raiment, symbolizing her newness of life and relationship to the Father and the Son whose call she had accepted.
Put on thy beautiful robes, bride of Christ.
The poem, I Am My Beloved's, from reprint 1507, will be read for us by Dan and Tim.
Shake off the dust from thy feet, bride of Christ, for the conqueror, girded with might, shall vanquish the foe, the dragon cast down, and the cohort of hell put
to flight. I am my beloved's. Thy Spirit, Lord, has filled my life with sweetness and with love intense. I love to live to do Thy will until Thou art pleased to call me hence.
I love to sit at Thy dear feet and learn of Thee Thy will, Thy mind, and Thou dost teach me lessons sweet, and learning these, great peace I find.
Thou art ever ready to bestow a blessing fresh, so rich and rare, and as we're filled with Thy great love, to that extent all things seem fair.
The sweetest portion of my day is spent here, just here, low at Thy feet. Words fail to tell how deep the joy, the hour is holy when we meet.
How gladly will I hail the day when I shall see Thee as Thou art, and be made like Thee, precious one, and of Thy glory share a part.
Realize the responsibilities of the hour.
We would like now to consider the parable of the wedding garment, which illustrates another beautiful feature of truth. According to Jewish custom, all guests, upon entering the house, were handed a wedding garment. The acceptance of it implied that they would put it on and that they would wear it. The robe represents justification. All who would be acceptable at the wedding must appear in the imputed righteousness of Christ. Another beautiful account of the bride is found in Psalms 45, 13 and 14. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. This pictures her when all trials and testings are successfully passed, and she shall be accepted as the very elect. She shall be brought into the king in raiment of needlework. The word brought here is led. All through the gospel age, we are led from grace to grace. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19:8. We have been granted a wedding garment, clean and white, pure linen, the righteousness of the saints. That robe constitutes a basis for our ultimate acceptance by the Lord in the end of this age, when the marriage of the Lamb shall come. In order to be ready, you must do two things. The first of these is found in James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We must keep those robes unspotted by seeking forgiveness. Secondly, we must embroider these robes with fine needlework, painstakingly. We must endeavor to fix and to establish in these robes the glorious pattern outlined for us by the Word and the example of our Bridegroom, Jesus. How tedious the work sometimes appears to us. The Lord, who takes cognizance of our endeavors, seeks persistency and the right intention of our hearts. He counts it unto us as being perfect. We should not be married in these robes. These are merely ones in which we are being led to the marriage. More and more, they should show our love.
Let us sing together.
They should show our zeal. And they should show our patient endurance. We'd ask Brother Lynn and Sister Gretchen to come forward and read the poem, "Put On the Beautiful Robes, Bride of Christ."
Put on thy beautiful robes, Bride of Christ, for the King shall embrace thee today. Break forth into singing. The morning has dawned, and the shadows of night flee away.
Shake off the dust from thy feet, Bride of Christ, for the conqueror, girded with might, shall vanquish the foe the dragon cast down, and the cohorts of hell put to flight.
Thou art the bride of his love, his elect. Dry thy tears, for thy sorrows are past. Lone were the hours when the Lord was away, but he came with the morning at last.
The wind bears the noise of his chariot wheels and the thunder of victor roar. Lift up thy beautiful gates, Bride of Christ, for the grave has dominion no more.
Once they arrayed him with scorning, but see, his apparel is glorious now. In his hand are the keys of death and of hell, and a diadem gleams on his brow.
Hark, 'tis her voice, hallelujah, she sings. Hallelujah, the captives go free. Unfolded the gates of paradise stand, and unfolded forever shall be.
Choir answers choir, where the song has no end. All the saints raise hosannas on high.
Deep calls unto deep in the ocean of love, as the bride lifts up her jubilant cry.
We must realize the responsibilities of the hour. That we realize that the bridegroom is nigh, even at the door. Thus we must not become careless with embroidering our robes, not overcharged with the cares of this life. If we permit a careless or overcharged attitude, little embroidering will be done, and it will be of poor quality. Spots will get on the robe, and we shall neglect to have them cleansed away. Just what constitutes this needlework, this embroidery? It is not knowledge, although knowledge is very necessary to its proper inworking. It represents love, for love is the fulfilling of the law. Let the golden rule measure our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Measure the length of the stitches in our embroidery and assure ourselves that it is very fine needlework. We'll ask Bill and Edith Harp to come forward now and read a poem entitled My Child's Garment.
My Child's Garment. My child was embroidering a garment. The pattern, though simple, was fair, but so easily soiled, so easily spoiled. She often shed tears of despair. But I leaned o'er my child, and I helped her. I straightened the pattern so fair. I cleansed it. I pressed it. I unsnarled the thread. I covered the ends here and there. At last she was done with her pattern, and with love and with pride plain to see, she showed the results of her efforts, and then she gave it to me. My heart swelled with love as I viewed it. 'Twas faultless to me, not to some. I lifted her close as I whispered, "My child, it is beautifully done."
I, too, am embroidering a garment. The pattern is wonderfully fair, but so easily soiled, so easily spoiled. I often shed tears of despair. But there's one who leaned over me and helped me, and he straightened the pattern so fair. He cleanses, he presses, he unsnarls the thread. He covers the ends here and there. I too shall be done with my pattern. I shall come, though my eyes may be dim. I'll show him the fruit of my labors, and then I shall leave it to him. His love shall make my works faultless. His dear hand shall beckon me on. He'll gather me close as he tells me, "My child, enter in. 'Tis well done."
Let us sing together hymn number 230, Behold the Bridegroom. I'd also like to thank my sister Kathy for her help in preparation of the slides. Perhaps we could take a few moments now and think about the joys a prospective bride realizes as she carefully prepares for her wedding day. Let us glean some lessons for our preparations for that day. Even though we realize that an earthly union is not a total picture of our marriage to our Lord, indeed it could not come close, we know God did ordain and institute the marriage arrangement. Focusing on those joys helps us prepare more carefully and helps us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, our pattern. Just as a bride plans so carefully and meticulously down to the very details to make sure everything is perfect on that very special day, how much more should we? How much more should we? To be a part of that most important marriage to the Lamb, we have asked Brother McElroy and Becky to read a poem for us entitled, Behold the Bridegroom.
Behold, behold the Bridegroom. He's in our midst today. O bride, put on thy jewels and all thy fine array. His saints he now will gather to crown and glorify and bring them to the mansions prepared for them on high.
Behold, behold the Bridegroom. In beauty see your King, and in triumph measures the happy tidings sing. Awaken those that slumber and bid them all arise to welcome his blessed presence with all the faithful wives.
Behold, behold the Bridegroom. O ready, stand with those whose lamps are filled and burning before the door shall close. The nuptial feast is waiting for these to enter in, and then the joy exceeding with love's reign will begin.
Behold, behold the Bridegroom. Our fast days now are over, for in the Bridegroom's presence we need not hunger more. We know him in the breaking of truth's sustaining bread, and at the King's own table abundantly are fed.
Behold, behold the Bridegroom. Nor cry, Lord Jesus, come. Lift up your eyes, ye reapers, and bring the harvest home. The sowing time is over, your night of weeping gone. O joy the morning breaketh, 'tis now millennial dawn.
We can but imagine the honors and joys of that great banquet, the wedding feast. The aroma of the good things to come already reaches us in the anteroom before we enter the banquet hall. These odors come to us by knowing and by believing the exceeding great and precious promises of God's word, promises which assure us of His faithfulness and His provisions of the things which eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man, but which God hath provided for them that love Him supremely. We would like now to bring this Vesper to a close by focusing on this aspect of joy, the total and complete joy which we will ultimately have, which we will feel when finally united to our Lord. To do that, we're going to travel back in time with some of our dear brethren, reflecting on their most special day. And in the early years, when they were newly united to their helpmates on this side of the veil. Remember, as we view these slides, the total joy that all feel at such an occasion. What a wondrous day for all, including the wedding guests. We are privileged to learn so much about love and God's arrangement concerning head and body, bride and bridegroom, in this earthly union. May we focus together on the joys of that wedding day, keeping ever before our minds the even greater joys of the day when we can say, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. We would now ask T and Arlene and Lenny and Gretchen to sing for us the wedding song as we view these slides of the brethren.
Brother Walter P. Novitsky, born June 18, 1914. Passed away March 30, 1995. 80 years, 9 months, 12 days. Whoops, how'd that get in there? Dan and Tammy, may the Lord of hosts bless you. We'll now close by singing together hymn number 281. The church. And may this be our continual prayer. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come once more to thy hallowed throne of grace with thankful hearts, thankful for the privileges that we have as the prospective bride of Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that during this next few days, as we look into our hearts and we remove and be sure that all of the leaven that is there, that may be there, is removed. That we prepare ourselves, that we keep our robes spotless and clean of all imperfections. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have and the privilege that we wish to have of bringing up the entire world of mankind into atonement with your righteous principles of justice and love. All of these things we ask, thinking of all of those dear ones everywhere that have consecrated their hearts to you. We give thanks in our Lord and prospective bridegroom's most precious, precious name, Jesus. Amen.